Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Going to be Ephesians chapter 6, this time in God's Word. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. The story is told about a teacher who injured his back and had to wear a plaster cast around the upper part of his body. It fit under his shirt and wasn't noticeable. On the first day of the term, still with his cast under his shirt, this teacher was assigned to the toughest students in school. He walked confidently into the rowdy classroom, opened the window, and then got busy with his work. Soon a strong breeze made his tie flap and flop around, so the teacher picked up the stapler from his desk and stapled his tie to his chest. And he had no trouble with discipline that term. That teacher had invisible armor, but so do we. Our armor is a whole lot stronger than that, though, because it's the armor of God. We need God's armor and protection. In verse 12, we see that our enemy is organized and he is structured to wage the most destructive warfare possible against the church, the body of Christ. In verse 11, we learn about the devil's wiles, or that he has schemes and strategies against each of us to make us fall or turn away from Christ and run away in the battle and damage our testimony for the Lord. In light of these things, Paul commands the church that we need to put on, and promptly put on, and take unto ourselves the whole armor of God in the spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Paul instructs the church to stand therefore, or be strong, maintain your ground is the idea. Don't flee, don't turn away from the cause of Christ. As you look at the pieces of the armor, none of them are for the back. There's no protection for the back. God, by that, shows us that he doesn't want us to turn and run in the battle. He wants us to stand in his power and for his glory. We are instructed to stand having your loins or your waist girt about with the truth. Now, most of us today don't gird our loins. We wouldn't say it that way. Nowadays, we buckle our belts around our waist. It has the very similar kind of meaning. The garment of the Roman soldier draped loosely over him, a loose tunic would have been a potential hindrance and even a danger to him in battle if he got hung up in his clothes when he was trying to fight and do battle. So the soldier's clothing was cinched up tight by a heavy 6-inch wide leather belt so it wouldn't hamper their movements. The belt girded and supported him and was a mark of readiness and preparedness. The belt, Paul says, is composed of truth, or the truth of God. The truth of God revealed in his word, that is. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And Ephesians 4:15 in this very book teaches us that we are to be speaking the truth in love, that is, the truth of God's word, the truth revealed to the Apostle Paul in the revelation of the mystery. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 teaches that the truth is found in Christ. The truth is in Jesus, it says in that verse. The truth includes the gospel as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." We need to hold to the truth of God's word, but it's also needed for the truth to hold us, and we must apply it to our lives and allow it to transform our lives by grace. Being girded with the truth also speaks then to the truth being lived out practically. It's the truth of character, a life that conforms to the instruction of God's word and thus yields the fruit of the Spirit of truth in your life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." You put all that together, having your loins girt about with truth is about knowing the Word of God rightly divided. It's about knowing the Lord. It's being girded with the gospel. It's living a life in accordance with the truth of the Word of God. John 8:44 says of our enemy Satan that there is no truth in him, for he is a liar and the father of it. So you can believe in this spiritual battle that we will be confronted with lies, false teaching, deceptions to make us stumble. But we are to be people of truth, the truth of God's Word and His Son, who is the truth, and the truth for the body of Christ as revealed to the Apostle Paul by the Lord. As we know the truth, we'll be girded for the battle. Having a knowledge of the truth of the Word supports us, gives us confidence, it protects us, it makes us ready and prepared in this spiritual warfare. Having a knowledge of the truth of the Word supports us. It gives us confidence. It's our armor and our protection. It makes us ready and makes us prepared in the spiritual warfare. Being girded with truth keeps us close to the Lord, and that makes us strong in Him. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so as we're close to the Word, we're close to the Lord, and we're being strong in Him in doing so. And being close to the Word allows us to know good from evil, and it exposes error and deception when we know the truth. Ivan Misner tells how three store owners shared adjacent storefronts in the same building. Times were tough. In hopes of picking up sales, the owner of the shop at one end of the building put a sign over his front entrance that read, "Year-end clearance." At the other end of the building, another owner responded with his own sign and said, "Annual closeout." And the owner of the store in the middle knew he had to act fast or he'd lose business. After careful consideration, he hung a larger sign over his front door that read, "Main entrance." We know in the spiritual battle that there will be trickery and there will be deception, and by the strategies and schemes of Satan, our adversary. So we need to be on guard. We need to be discerning people and be people of the truth of the Word of God, so we are not led away by the tricks and deceptions of Satan. We need to remember that Satan's attacks sometimes come by way of him using Scripture. Pastor C.R. Stamm, the founder of the Berean Bible Society, once said this, in Luke chapter 4, verses 3 and 10, we read, "And the devil said, it is written." Frightening thought that should put us all on guard against his wiles. In the temptation of our Lord in the wilderness, Satan used Scripture. And the devil does the same today. He does his greatest work of deception in the churches and religions of this world, and he often does so by twisting Scripture, not taking it in its context, or not taking it in its dispensational context. And therefore, we need to be girded with a strong understanding of God's Word rightly divided, an understanding of the revelation of the mystery as committed to the Apostle Paul, so we are not led away from Christ by unsound doctrine, error, and traditionalism. As we are Bereans, we are to test everything by the truth of the Word. And in doing so, we find strength and protection in the battle. We need the truth of doctrine, and we need the truth of a godly character to keep us from falling, and so we can stand as the Lord wants us to in the spiritual battle. We need that belt pulled tight, and we need to keep the truth of God's Word close, and keep Christ right at the center of our lives and live out and stay true to what the Bible teaches is right and good and true. If we do not, then we're not putting on the whole armor of God and we're leaving ourselves open to the dangers and attacks within the spiritual battle. The next piece we are to have on is the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman breastplate was often made of leather or heavy linen. Some were made of large pieces of metal molded to conform to the body. It covered the body from the neck to the waist and was, of course, used to protect the body's vital organs, the core of their physical life. As such, the breastplate was an essential piece of armor. Now, we are righteous in Christ positionally. Paul speaks of that in Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. We receive Christ's righteousness the moment we trust the gospel, and we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. We are justified and declared righteous judicially by God the moment we believe. That positional righteousness can never be lost, and it can never be taken away from us. The Bible also speaks, though, of practical righteousness. That's to flow from our positional righteousness by the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive the righteousness of God by faith in Christ alone at salvation. And the practical righteousness of right living is also the result of faith in Christ. God desires His church to be righteous in their everyday practical experience. The breastplate of righteousness has to do with doing what is right in accordance with God's righteous word in the Christian life. It's a breastplate of goodness, godliness, pure living, upright character, having nothing evil that can be said of us. The unrighteous one, the accuser of the brethren, Satan, desires to have something evil, something unrighteous that can be said of us, to discredit us, destroy our testimonies for Christ. So he tempts, he tries in every way to steer us away from living lives of righteousness. But Ephesians 5:9 again says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So as we allow the Spirit to work in our lives, as we live by the Word of God, as we pray, as we serve Him, the Spirit can and the Spirit will produce righteousness in our life. James Emery White writes this, "In ancient China, the people desired security from the barbaric invading hordes to the north. To get this protection, they built the Great Wall of China. It's 30 feet high, 18 feet thick, and more than 1,500 miles long. The Chinese goal was to build an absolutely impenetrable defense, too high to climb over, too thick to break down, too long to go around. But during the first 100 years of the wall's existence, China was successfully invaded 3 times. It wasn't the wall's fault. During all 3 invasions, the barbaric hordes never climbed over the wall, never broke it down, never went around it. They just bribed the gatekeeper, marched right through an open door." And so in our spiritual battle, we can give Satan an open door through a breakdown in our Christian life and character, and not giving an area of our lives over to the Lord, not living in obedience to the Word, and living in an unrighteousness and not the righteousness of God.
We'll be returning to the program in just a minute. But first, we'd like to take this time to thank you, our partners, for making these programs possible. If you would like to access our library of helpful Bible study tools, go to BereanBibleSociety.org.
This week's featured book, Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians by Pastor Paul Sadler, is a symphony of God's wonderful grace revealed in its fullness. This volume is a verse-by-verse commentary that extensively explores both the riches of God's grace and the riches of His glory. It takes a fresh new look at our standing and state from the perspective of the Word rightly divided.
To receive our free, full-color 32-page monthly magazine, The Berean Searchlight, call 262-255-4750 or subscribe online at www.BereanBibleSociety.org. Thank you again for your generous gifts. And now, back to the teaching with Pastor Kevin.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And continuing his description of God's armor, Paul says we need to have our feet shod. In other words, we need to keep our boots on at all times. Harold Honer describes the shoes of a Roman soldier this way. The Roman legionnaires wore heavy sandals with soles made of several layers of leather averaging 3/4 inch thick, studded with hollow-headed hobnails. They were tied by leather thongs halfway up the shin and were stuffed with wool or fur in the cold weather. The shoes to the Roman soldier were, of course, vitally important because having feet that were blistered, cut, swollen, that could prove fatal in battle, not being able to stand and fight or advance rapidly. They had to march on and fight on all kinds of terrain, on rough, hot roads, climbing up slippery hills, wading through rivers and streams with jagged rocks. The embedded bits of metal or nails gave them traction on slick terrain and stability when sustaining sharp blows from an attacker. It kept them upright. It's kind of like cleats in football or baseball, given maximum footing and traction to prevent sliding. The subject matter here is standing and fighting the devil. Our footing against Satan is our peace with God. The gospel of peace is the good news that in Christ we are forever at peace with God and now have His peace also in our hearts and lives. Romans 5:1 teaches about our peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to stand in this spiritual battle ready with our feet shod in the confidence of a right relationship with God, that we are at peace with Him. And we also don't need to fear the attack of Satan. We can face the attack in the peace of God that we receive at salvation as well. Philippians 4:7 teaches us about that. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard and protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In this spiritual battle, the peace that we have in Christ gives us a firm standing for any sharp blow or temptation that comes our way by Satan in the spiritual battle. So we can remain upright on our feet, able to stand in the evil day when Satan attacks by that peace that we have with God and the peace of God. When the devil taunts, when the devil pressures and then strikes by the peace of God and our peace with God, we can be ready, able to stand, stable and firm for our Savior. And with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we are also called in the spiritual battle to be prepared to spread the good news of peace with God through Christ to this troubled and restless world around us. Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." On the battlefield, the belt, the breastplate, and the shoes were never taken off. The shield, the helmet, and the sword were kept close by, though, and grabbed when the fighting began. And thus you see now in verse 16 about Paul talking about taking the shield of faith. These pieces needed to be taken up in the battle. And Paul says, above all, what we need to grab is to take the shield of faith. The Roman shield was usually a 4.5-foot oval or rectangle made of wood, covered with tough leather, framed with iron. It was designed to protect the soldier's entire body because they could hunker down behind that shield when arrows were fired at them. The shields were often soaked in water prior to battle in order to quench or extinguish fiery arrows or darts that were fired in the battle. It's been said that in this battle, that this shield could be also locked together with others to form a wall in front, or locked above them to make a roof overhead. The shield of faith for the Christian soldier is just basic trust in the Lord, trusting Him for His provision and His help, depending on God's presence and God's power. Paul shows us here that it will be necessary for us at times in this battle to just hide ourselves in Christ through faith and dependence. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, "He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him." Psalm 119, 114 says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield." It's been said that faith puts God between you and the enemy. And in no fiery darts will hit us if God is between us and the enemy. In Christ, we have all the protection we need against Satan and his army. Paul says that by the shield of faith, you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The fiery darts were arrows with their tips wrapped with pieces of cloth that had been soaked in a flammable liquid. Then just before the arrow was shot, it was lit whatever that dart hit on impact, burning bits of cloth would then spatter all around for several feet, igniting anything flammable it touched in the area. Paul says that the wicked one shoots these fiery darts at us in our spiritual battle. These flaming arrows, they can take many forms, including temptation, hatred, anger, covetousness, pride, envy, lust, stubbornness, deception, jealousy, frustration, guilt. They're the fiery darts of discouragement or fear or worry or doubt or confusion. We could go on and on and on. The shield of faith in God, though, provides an impenetrable protection from all of these things. We simply need to, by an act of our will, take up the shield of faith and turn and trust in the Lord and hide in Him, trusting His strength to help us. In doing so, we're being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, like verse 10 instructs us to do, and we can stand in the spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, and take the helmet. Paul also tells us to take the helmet of salvation. And these helmets on Roman soldiers were made of bronze, fitted over an iron skull cap lined with leather or cloth. They often had a band to protect the forehead and plates to protect the cheeks and the nose. Little of the head was exposed to danger, but they could still see clearly out of it. The helmet, of course, protected the head from injury. The parallel that we would understand to the helmet in our day would be like a football helmet or a motorcycle helmet that protects blows from crushing or harming the skull. The helmet of salvation has to do with Satan's attacks on our minds. It guards our head, the helmet does. It guards our heads from attacks on our thinking. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan tries to convince us that we don't really belong to the Lord and that we are not eternally secure. Satan's a thief and he tries to rob us. He robs us of our joy. He robs us of the hope of our resurrection, hope of our glorification, the hope of our eternal hope and home and heaven and the joy of those things. The helmet of salvation is to guard and protect our minds against internal unbelief, questioning, uncertainty, and against outside attacks by the devil to doubt salvation. In the spiritual battle, Satan just plants seeds of doubt and fear. He reminds us of failures and sins to discourage us in our walk and service and to take our eyes off the Lord and put them on ourselves. Having on the helmet of salvation, though, keeps our minds focused on Christ and the full salvation, security, and assurance that we have in Him, that we are complete in Him. Having on the helmet of salvation, we can stand strong in the battle, knowing that Christ's sacrifice, it has fully paid my sin debt, that I am justified, that I am redeemed, I am forgiven of all of my sins, and that by the Holy Spirit of God, as this book teaches us, ye are sealed until the day of redemption. We can stand in this battle, knowing too that we have a sure hope of the rapture, that we will be delivered from the wrath to come, as 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, we are delivered from the future tribulation period. We don't need to worry about the tribulation period at all. We can stand in the battle knowing that we will be delivered from sin's presence one day. And that comforts us because we know that this present struggle, this daily struggle that we have in life and the spiritual battle against the devil and his army, it will not last forever. And it is only for this life. The helmet of salvation is about protecting our minds, our knowledge, and our thinking. And thus taking the helmet of salvation is a call again. It goes back to knowing and being grounded in the Word of God rightly divided. It's a call to know what the gospel is for today. That it's the gospel of the grace of God that saves people from their sins and gives them a home in heaven forever. When we rightly divide the Word of truth, we don't then mix the gospel of the grace of God with elements of the gospel of the kingdom, such as confession of sins or the miraculous signs that accompanied those that believed in the gospel records. By rightly dividing the word of truth, we keep those things separate and we keep the gospel of grace pure and unmixed, and we know that salvation is by grace through faith alone, that we are saved just believing that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and that's it. Nothing else. Taking the helmet of salvation is about having salvation also always on our minds. It's about realizing the needs of others around us all the time that aren't saved and who need Christ. Having that helmet of salvation on is to keep us sensitive and aware to the need of people for the gospel. It's to cause us to ponder and think about life through God's viewpoint, to keep the eternal destiny of souls at the forefront of our minds and hearts. While we wait for the Lord's return, we live in a world of spiritual darkness that is hostile to spiritual truth. We see it. There's this battle raging around us all the time. And it's a battle for the hearts and minds of people, and every believer is a soldier in that battle. We must protect ourselves against Satan's constant attacks, and we must reach out with our hope. So to review this time in God's Word, the armor is just really practical. It speaks of our need in the spiritual battle to be people of the Word, people of the truth, who live in righteousness with the peace of God giving us a firm footing in life, being people of faith who stand in the assurance of our salvation and with the salvation of souls always on our mind. Our website at Bream Bible Society has many Bible study articles and charts to aid you in understanding God's Word rightly divided. There's also hundreds of free MP3 messages on there for you to listen to and to download. There's also videos from Grace Pastors to watch. Our web address is BreamBibleSociety.org. I encourage you to visit it today. Thank you for watching Transformed by Grace. Join us next time, and we're going to be looking at our spiritual weapons of the Word of God and prayer.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society, P.O. Box 756, Germantown, Wisconsin, 53022. Now until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.